Working Class on DeerCast. We are back this week with Clint Casper, just me and Clint. It's almost like the CC Hump Files, but only on DeerCast.
It really is. On this series, I got to clean myself up just a wee little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. But that's okay. That's good for us. It's like practicing for real life. You know?
It really is.
You can't just be like a reckless SOB all the time.
I can't act like I'm talking to Devin 24/7, where it's just F this and dude that. You know what I mean?
It is good for me to like not cuss on a podcast every now and again. It's good practice. Like,
it is good.
I'm doing a radio interview, I don't know, with Dan. I don't know. It's end of July, I think, we're going to be on. And so he's like, you can not cuss for an episode, right? I'm like, yeah, we're good. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I'll try. But this episode, let's get right into it. First of all, I think I'm wearing a blaze orange hat on a podcast for the first time, maybe ever. I figured I'd switch it up. But anyway, we're talking on this one, mule deer versus whitetails. And this topic kind of got brought up between you and I in a phone conversation like a few days ago. I'm like, well, there's an episode. That'd be fun to just talk about. So everyone that's listening or tuning in, you got to pick a side here. Are you with me, Kurt, or are you going to side with Clint on this episode? So we're going to keep a tally. And you need to let us know in the comments, wherever you've listened, what DeerCast or Instagram or whatever. Whose side are you on? And we're going to get...
You can't change.
Ever. Like, once you pick, you're there.
That's it. None of this, it's two C's. I meant Clint, but I mean Kurt, but I said Clint. No, it's you're either Clint Mule Deer or you're Kurt and Whitetails. That's where it's at.
So, okay. So there it is. That's the start of this conversation. Is we were talking, you're like, man, I think whitetails have taken a back seat to my mule deer obsession. Whereas, like, I understand that, I get like your point, but there's no place like coming home and hunting whitetails like in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. That's my argument. Like, don't get me wrong, if I can hunt muleys every year, I'll go. And I like that. I'm not saying I dislike mule deer, but nothing beats big Midwestern whitetail at home on your home court,
except for a big velvet mule deer in Colorado high country. Besides that, nothing else beats them.
Yeah, but like you'd rather kill a 170 velvet mule deer versus a hardhorn 170 whitetail
all day.
Really?
All day.
I mean, I get it. They're both cool. Like, they're both 170 inch deer, right? And they're different in their own special ways. Like, I'll take both, right? I'll have both. That would be
If I have that option, I'll take both. Yes.
But for the sake of conversation, it's not an option. You get one or the other for eternity. And you're picking muleys. Really?
If I can only hunt one deer, I'm taking mule deer.
Yeah, I can't get on board. I get it. So make your case. Why? Why are you a mule deer guy over a whitetail guy in that instance?
For me, it's simple. I like the adventure and I like where mule deer take me. You know, like, not saying that I can't go hunt whitetails in different places of the world, but like pretty much the Midwest, you know, that's the whitetail like mecca. Yeah. You know, I mean, you got your Iowas, your Ohio, your Illinois, Wisconsin, you know, Indiana, Missouri, Kansas, you know. Yeah, I mean, each of them is a little bit different, but I mean, it's a very similar, you know, like, yes, there's adventure in that 100%. But for me, with mule deer, it's just there's more adventure. And it's like every time I go hunt them, it's typically in a different place, a different unit. It's a different type of quote unquote adventure for me. Like, I never really know for sure because most of these places I've never been, I'll probably never be back at. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I haven't hunted the same unit twice yet in Colorado, for example. So like for me, Colorado high country mule deer, I mean, that's the top of my list, you know, just because of what it entails. Like, I've got to train mentally and physically so hard. It's got to be a lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just, I'm going to shoot a month before season or I'll go to the gym a couple times before I hit, like, you know, and I'll be fine. Like, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. But I like that. I like January, February to be in the gym, knowing that I got to hustle right now if I want to be able to be at my peak come August 20th for Utah or September 2nd for. So it's kind of like now.
So are you are you more in love with the process of mule deer hunting, or are you more in love with mule deer over whitetail?
Well, I haven't quite got to that yet, but yes, the process is a big one for me. I love the process and I love the danger factor that mule deer give. I like.
So let's stop right here before you get too far into that. So you like where mule deer take you, and you like the preparation that needs to come in. I get that. Like that is cool. And I think I'm going to have a lot of, so here's where the argument is going to be invalid for a lot of people. I'm picking team whitetail, your team muley on this podcast, just, you know, and maybe we might not believe that fully, but for the sake and fun of this conversation and the viewers, listeners, if you have never killed a mule deer, you can't side with Clint because you're going off imagination.
Yeah. So, And I do not want, I feel like in articles and in posts and even on podcasts sometimes, mule deer hunting in the high country, like what I'm talking about, what I love to do, like in Colorado, it's romanticized. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's cool.
Let me be very clear on this statement. It is 99% a suck fest, and you've got to love that to enjoy hunting mule deer. I like that. Like, I'm in love with that. I'm in love with seeing, okay, dude, you think you're tough? You think you're mentally ready for it? You think you're a badass? You want to call yourself, a go-getter, whatever? Dude, the mountain is the equalizer. Like, where mule deer live, they don't care what your name is, how many followers you got, how much money you make. They don't give a shit. Like, that is the equalizer. The mountain's the equalizer. The high country's the equalizer. You're going to deal with lightning. So, like, yes. What it entails, it's like a title fight. That's how I always describe it. That's my UFC title fight every year. I think about that every single day, every day.
So let me throw this at you then. What about like a Nebraska mule deer? Like, where, I mean, it could still be hilly. The terrain could still vary there, but a non-high country mule deer, does that still, not the same mule deer?
I'll be honest with you. I don't have much of a desire to go there and hunt mule deer.
Okay.
Like, so
we're talking high country mule deer versus Midwestern whitetail right now. That's the debate.
As well, I mean, I love the look of mule deer more than I love the look of whitetail.
Interesting. Okay, let me make before we go into that, we're jumping ahead. So my case is, you like where mule deer take you. I get the adventure. It's romantic, it's sexy, it's cool. But all right, on the other turn, here's my debate to that. And like, I agree with you, but for the sake, again, the sake of this fun.
Well, yeah, we're both going to agree on these points, for the sake of the podcast,
you're wrong. And, I love where whitetails bring you because it makes you scratch your head and think about different equations on your home turf. So when you have to figure out a whitetail, you can take a season and try and deep dive on them, and you have more time to play cat and mouse, but you can have a whitetail school you in a spot that you know, that you think you know really well. And that's that is cool, I think, because you're always learning more. And I feel like a whitetail, now the terrain is challenging for the mule deer, a high country mule deer, but I feel like a whitetail, from what little experience I have mule deer hunting, I've been on two mule deer hunts, killed two mule deer, I feel like a whitetail lets you get away with less just because of where they live. You know what I'm saying?
They definitely experience more hunting pressure from humans than a mule deer does.
I guess what I'm saying is, because of they live with us pretty much, we have to be, for whitetails, you have to be a little more methodical, and little details can really screw you if you mess them up on a 40-acre piece versus when, you know, you could have a saddle and the buck's on the other side of the saddle. And it doesn't really matter, for the most part, the wind's doing on that side of the saddle or what rocks you tipped over on that side of this. I mean, once you get into the ballpark, yes. But if you're not thinking, if you're messing that stuff up on the way in on a flat 40, you're done before you even get into the hunt. Could happen, but a little more finicky with a whitetail situation.
I think it's way easier to bump a big whitetail off and totally screw yourself I'd agree with that. I think if you say you've got to put a stock and kill a giant muley versus maybe like, okay, you've got to go in and like what would be harder to go in and kill? A big mule deer on a stock or a big whitetail on a stock? Like who's more on edge 24/7? I'm going with mule deer because more stuff is out there to kill them. They got to deal with lions, bears, wolves. But here's the one cool thing. With mule deer, if you bump them in the high country, realistically, they might move over a mile into off another ridge line. You go find them again and hunt them. Whereas a whitetail back here at home, and this is kind of helping out your argument, but it's the truth. If I bump and blow a buck off and he stays on the neighbor for the next week, in plain words, I'm effed. I mean, until he comes back over, if I don't have permission, if it's a private piece, I'm in trouble.
You're out of the game.
If I blow him off a public, you're out of the game. So,
okay, you know, so Clint, you just said something pretty interesting. It's worth a conversation. Say right now you and I are together and we're looking out, and at 200 yards, there's a 170-inch muley bedded. Mm-hmm. And then 10 feet to the right, there's a 170-inch whitetail. And I know those inches don't always like compare even. Just
hear
me out. And they're both looking away from us and the wind's good.
Yeah.
You think it'd be easier to kill the whitetail versus to kill the muley?
In my opinion, you'll get away with way less with a mule deer.
Get away with less.
Yep.
I don't have a ton of experience, but what little stalking experience I have and what I've experienced, and I might go on two more hunts and be like, oh, I was wrong when I said that. But as of now, with the two mule deer bucks I've killed, and I've done several mule deer stalks, I feel like mule deer's reaction time is more lagged than a whitetail. I feel like if you make a noise or break a stick, a muley might like be like, what was that? Whereas a whitetail might be like, out of there. That's my perspective, though. Because I've got close to some pretty pressured Oregon muleys and about pulled it off. Now, I didn't pull it off, so how much validity does this topic have with me? Maybe none. But I got a lot closer for how sloppy I was than I feel that I would have if it would have been a big whitetail in the same situation.
I think a lot of it's where they live too, because, you know, there's such a vast landscape where a mule deer lives in the high country versus a whitetail. It's very tight. His home range, where he spends a lot of time is usually maybe 100, 200 acres, whereas a mule deer stretches a couple miles. So I do think you can get away with maybe like, a stick or something, but like the wind and things like that, me personally, whitetails smell humans way more than a mule deer smells a human. So like for me, the big thing's the wind.
Yeah.
Sound and probably would have to side with you. Whitetails are more apt to freak about sound, I think, than a mule deer in the high country. But I base everything off of that wind. And at any moment in time, if that wind just for a split hair second is wrong and they catch a whiff of you because it's something that is so foreign to them up there, it's over. Like good not point. Even a, oh, what was that? It's over. But let's say we're on an equal playing field. I mean, it's 50-50 because they're both freaking hard. They both have a sixth sense. Right. They both can jump a string, you know. I'm in love with the look of mule deer. I love the deep forks. I love, you know, usually
it's hard not to like.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, I love white. I mean, I've got freaking 19 whitetails mounted. So obviously I love looking at them too. You know, I have just fallen. I think for me, it's a big combination of a lot of things that, you know, and it's fresh. It's new. I've been doing this for 10, 12 years, whereas whitetails I've hunted my entire life. Mule deer, I feel like I am learning more each year, constant, because it's still very new to me. Mm-hmm. You know, 20 years from now, I might be like, it's even, or you know what, maybe I changed my mind. But right now, where they take you and the things I have to do to prepare for that, I'm in love with that as much as I am actually being out there. But then too, with whitetails, we are hunting a whitetail coming to us, which That's the best way to hunt them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, dude, I was born to stalk. Like, that's just like, that is my jam. I love to look at okay, the buck's here, rocks are here, I'm coming down this chute, I'm dropping in. Like, I love that game plan of I'm taking the battle to you. Like,
yeah,
you're like, bedded.
That's hard not to like, man. I get that.
I just like that. If you could spot and stalk Midwest whitetail successfully, and the success rate was better to do that than it was to hunt out of blinds and stands, I would 100% be doing it. And I've tried to figure out how to do that.
It's just so tough.
Like it's got to be the absolute most perfect scenario for that to take place. And how many times do you have that?
I almost pulled it off last season.
No, I remember that. I talked and to you tonight.
It was a buck that I don't want to say that I should have shot, but
right.
The deer I was hunting, I thought he was still alive, but turns out I think EHD got him. But anyway, but it was one of those one in a million chances. And I got up and I got the full draw and I could have cranked him and I didn't. So yes, I would have been thrilled with him. Like a 150s buck, 10, but he lived. I know he lived from checking my cam.
So
it was tough, dude, and it was also one of those, it was just weird. Like I was floating in on my e-bike. Did I tell you this story? I don't know if I ever told this story on a podcast or not.
I don't think you've told it on a podcast, but I talked to you that night because you literally were like, dude, I almost pulled a spot and stalk on a good one. And you're telling me the story. I'm like, why didn't you kill that deer? Like, I wanted you to kill that.
So I'll run through it quick without like dragging this out so we can get back to our debate. I floated in. I call my e-bike my magic carpet, right? Like, I'm a big, I love my e-bike. So I'm floating in and down in the grass, I see this buck stand up. He must have heard me, but I think there was a doe with him or something. Or maybe there wasn't. I don't know. I never saw her when I did the stalk. So I floated in and I saw him stand up and kind of look, but like wasn't concerned. And he's just kind of standing there looking around. Well, I get up in my stand and from my stand, because I'm like, I don't know. You gotta remember I was hunting a bigger deer and I was kind of at the time I was pretty cold blooded, but this buck is nice. And I get up in my stand and I'm like, oh shit, I can see him from the tree. So I'm like watching him and he's still standing. Then he beds back down and I'm like, the wind is perfect and there's a path mowed down the middle of that ravine up to the other path where he's bedded by in grass. So it's like, I'm below him. He's up here. Right. I'm down in a pinch. I stalked up this mowed path to a corner that he was bedded in on the grass. And I get up to about where I thought he was. And I grab my loopholes and I'm glassing. I'm like, he's got to be 40 yards from me. And I'm like glassing through. And it's like, he's right in front of me, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh shit, he's like right here.
He is.
Yeah, so I like grunted and I see his ear flicker and I grunted again, then he stood up and I'm like doing this man, should I? And then I just was like, just let it go, because I was on that other buck. I thought I was gonna kill him, but he ended up dying from I think EHD, but anyway, really close, could have made it happen, but I did. What do you do?
Man,
sucks.
That's tough.
But he lived.
I would have loved to. I would have had to have killed that deer just to be like, I'm your deer, stalk that buck. Like that would have been tough for me not to kill that deer. But I get it though, because you were hunting a bigger. I get it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's like a one in a million chance on a whitetail. I'm sure
it is
several times a year, but for
it is, and that's
our terrain, tough. Not often.
That's what I love about antelope, mule deer, elk, like Western big game, is I love taking the hunt to them. And I feel like I'm in control and I get to make or break my destiny. And see, I like that. Like, I like that the pressure is all on me. It's not, I'm in a tree. Here's the buck. I hope he comes my way. No, like, I'm going to you and I'm going to see if I can get within range, stick an arrow in you. Like, that's the ultimate. Like, that stalk is more fun than releasing an arrow for me. Like, that's just what gets me going. Like, I love that match. But I'm also the guy that hunts a specific whitetail, and I love that. I love to play the chess match with one buck a year. Yeah. And, you know, so like, so there's a side, you know, like, you know, I mean, it just depends. But if I could take a big whitetail and hunt one specific whitetail every year and play spot and stalk with him 24/7, and that was like the best way to kill him. Mind you, I know it's not, but let's just say it was every day. I'm going in and I'm glassing and I'm making stalks. Yeah. Oh, this would be a lot harder to say, well, it's just mule deer for me over whitetail, because I love that about mule deer. I love that game of letting one bed, glassing them up, watch him all day, let your thermals rise, afternoon comes, and it's freaking, here we go, dude. It's on. Yeah. It's on. Now it's time to execute the stalk. Like, you waited all day for that. Here it is.
It is. It's hard to argue, like, glassing up bucks is really fun. You don't always get the opportunity to do that when you're whitetail hunting. Depends on your property and access and stuff. Right. But, like, it is cool. That's what's fun about Western hunting, of a lot of different types, antelope, muley, elk, whatever. It's like, okay, there they are. Let's make our game plan. And then that's like the fun part of the strategy. Now, it's still whitetail strategy is more,
still fun.
I feel like it's a harder equation sometimes, you know, but I feel like you said, you're waiting for them to come to you. I think my perspective is different. Once you're on a buck, you're trying to get in front of them. Same difference, but it's like, it's cooler to be like, I think he's going to do this exactly.
Yeah, trying to be a step ahead.
Yeah. But two, man, like my mule deer that we killed, I say we killed, cause I consider that mine, yours, and Devin's mule deer in Wyoming, we kind of threw some patterned whitetail strategy out for success for that hunt. So, I mean, kind of was the same concept, but we're just on the ground, you know? So it's like, I think they're going to do this again. Let's be there for when they're there, you know?
Yep. Yep. So, absolutely. I mean, and any smart bow hunter will take bits and pieces from both and put, I do that.
You have to.
I'll be elk hunting and take turkey hunting knowledge with me from back home to what I'm doing, or implement it, or vice versa, or mule deers and what, you know, mule deer and whitetails. I mean, same thing. Yeah. I mean, to implement what you know versus what you think. And then, you know, that's a must. If you're not doing that, you know, you're learning things and you're only using them in one application that can be used in multiple. I mean, there's no reason not to do that. So that's a good point.
Like an MMA fighter, don't know how to box, but he ignores all his kickboxing.
Right.
No.
What are you doing?
So strong debates here. I'm still team whitetail, but you're making me want to hunt mule deer more, which I'm building points for, you know, like it's fun. It is great. But I think I think it's hard to beat. Like, I love like the forks of a muley. I love the frame of a muley. There's something about them, like long time, deep splits is awesome. But when you get like a big typical 10 or a big heavy mass whitetail, that's hard to beat, man. That's hard to beat.
So I was asked by a listener not that long ago, are you taking your almost 170 inch 8 that you killed last year, Clint? Or are you taking your 190 inch velvet mule deer? And immediately I was like, mule deer without a question. And he's like, what? He's like, that whitetail is more rare. And I said, you're right. There's way more 190 inch velvet mule deer out there than there is straight eights that are that big. I said, I'll agree with that 100%. I'll agree with that 100%. But for me, when I factor in that buck was killed at almost 14,000 feet, what I had to go through, just for me, the look, he's 34 or 33 inches on the inside, the look of that deer in velvet.
Is that mount around somewhere? Or you have them down?
No, I'm at my mom and dad's because I'm still working on getting this barnuminium done, which, in today's world, that's been a struggle. That's been a struggle. But yeah, I mean, he's on the wall, just not here on this wall. He's actually in a room down at my grandma's. I got about 30 mounts in a room right now.
Shout out to your grandma. That's awesome.
Shout out to my grandma. She's watching the boys for me right now while I do this, actually. Hopefully they don't got her tied up and they're pulling her around by a rope or something.
They probably do at this point. So it's like, we got to be conscious of our time. But
they might.
That is cool, but you know, it's cool that you have both, you know, but also like that hunt, you almost died on that hunt. Like we did an episode on that buck. Like that adds in. That's what makes that hunt crazier. Now they all have their good add-ins.
Oh, and, for sure.
And the buck that we call the Geyer buck, Muley or whatever we're calling it, that actually be out in Peterson's bow hunting magazine, the next issue, which is
Cool. Like, probably like 2 or 3 weeks to something like that.
Yeah. So look for that. Like that story added a lot to that deer. You know, he's not the most massive mule deer, but it's like the experience adds to that. But also like the same thing goes for like some whitetails, you know, the story makes the deer, and the story doesn't add to what you enjoy more, muley or whitetail. Right. But I just think it's hard to beat like your home court chasing whitetails, they're higher pressured. Now there's less people up there close to 14,000 feet trying to kill that muley, which makes that way cool. But man, I just think like if forever I had to pick one, I'm going to stick with my whitetails if forever, you know. And I think the muley is what makes so special in my eyes, is that you don't always get to do it all the time. So it's such a big adventure when you get to go. And maybe that's sweeter, but if you hunted the muleys like that as much as you hunted whitetails in your life, do you think you'd have a flip-flop opinion on it?
I mean, I have at least one mule deer tag every single year. That's a high country hunt, no matter what. I've done that for the last 9 years, and I don't plan on ever not. I would rather have no whitetail tag than no mule deer tag.
Hmm. All right, 100%. Question.
100%. I would rather give up a year of chasing whitetails, and then for me to be like, well, sorry, buddy, you don't get to go chase mule deer in the high country. That's just, no, couldn't do it. Like,
Do you have an elk tag for this year, or are you just mule deer hunting?
I've got 2 mule deer tags and 2 elk tags.
Where? Do you want to say where you're going?
Yeah, I got both in Colorado and both in Utah.
For what? For which? Colorado?
I got a Utah mule deer, early mule deer, and elk tag. And I've got a Colorado velvet buck tag and a good rut tag. So I got 2 September elk rut tags, and I've got 2 early season velvet buck tags. So I'm stoked. I'm gonna be very, very busy from about August 20th to about October 1st. A lot of nights on the mountain.
So are you gonna try and kill an elk or a muley? Like what's more important? I'm assuming mule deer, but for the sake of this year, just in your mindset, coming off some successful elk and mule deer hunts in the past, where are you leaning?
Oh, I mean, I definitely want to kill a buck in Colorado. Very steep, rugged, lot of high country, 13,000-14,000 foot peaks where I'm going. Going to be way back in there, probably 9-10 miles. So, I mean, that's going to be my title fight. And then I definitely want to kill a bull somewhere. So, you know, I would put mule deer first, one of those, but I would definitely love to kill a bull. I mean, you know, I'm wanting to go 4 for 4. I want to fill, you know, I mean,
cool,
you know, whatever it takes to get those 4 filled is what it's going to be. But being realistic, if I was to kill 1 and 1, you know, I'd be stoked with that. I mean, odds are less than 20% on every one of those tags. So, I mean, and that's just on any bull or any buck. You start throwing in a good bull or a good buck, you're probably less than 8-10% on any of those hunts.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, I think you'll get it done one way or another. It's a lot of options, but I mean, I know you're going to put the time in. So it's like, but you
that's
can't,
all you can do.
Yeah. You, all you can do, you know, you can put your time in, you can't control your opportunity.
Yep. You just got to hope.
Sometimes you can't.
You just got to hope the opportunity comes, man. You get to bend the limbs back. And if you get to bend the limbs back, it's all on you from there, man. That's what I love. That's the moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, so Clint is mule deer, I'm whitetail, but don't get me wrong. Like I got points built up. Like I have,
oh yeah,
I need to start thinking about cashing some mule deer points in.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not this year because I drew the elk tag I wanted to draw.
Right.
But I got to start thinking about that. Like I'm probably due to hunt muleys in Colorado. I don't know if I feel like going to 13,000 feet, but maybe that's what I got to do.
I'll take you, dad.
Okay, son. It looks like I would go. I really would go.
Well, I mean, look at look at where I led you in Wyoming, and that worked out great. So just follow me, Dad.
I know. I think that might be like that elevation might be grounds for like some specialized type breath training. I know you talked with Bo recently on CC Hunt Files, and he got real sick from elevation, but he's a dude that spent some time in elevation and still got it right.
Oh, 100%. And that's why I wanted him to talk about it, because that guy has spent probably close to as many nights on mountains as I have, and probably almost as much time in Colorado high country as I have chasing elk around. And if he's not above tree line, he's right below. So he's 8 to 10. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I've done this a couple of times. Like it there again, the mountain doesn't care. Altitude sickness doesn't care. Like he's in great shape. He goes out west all the time. And I mean, dude, it hit him and hit him hard. And I mean, it, you know, listen to the podcast on CC Hunt Files and we break it down. But just a recap, I mean, he was in a freaking hospital for days on end. I mean, you know, I forget how many it was now, to be honest with you. But yeah, he was in trouble. If had he not have left the mountain, I mean, it could have been real bad. If he would have been by himself and didn't have his camera guy with him, he was getting pretty delusional, not making smart choices, not knowing what he was doing. I mean, it could have very, very, very quickly been a life or death situation up there for him. You know, so definitely, you know, definitely something to think about.
It's scary. I mean, you feel that you run out of gas quick, you know, coming from the Midwest to some high elevation spots. But see, there's another reason why whitetail are cooler. You don't have to worry about elevation.
And see, I'm going to say there's another reason why mule deer are cooler, because everything out there wants to kill you. Mountain lions, wolves, bears, lightning. I like it.
Yeah.
I like
it. I was cool on everything. Like I thought there was a bear nosing around one night. But I think honestly, I wonder if some of that was because the day before I killed my buck, that's when I started feeling like a little loopy I thought was elevation.
Yep.
And once we killed my buck, we put in a late night of pack out.
Oh yeah.
And I wonder if like a mix of I had very minimal elevation, and I think just elevation fatigue is what it was. I don't think it was elevation sickness or anything like that, but it makes you feel like a bee for sure. But coming up, I wonder if like just being tired, recovering. And then, I mean, we packed till almost 2 a.m., you know? So when we got back to the tents, I wonder if I was just feeling like, well, one, I thought I was going to get back and fall asleep fast from exhaustion. And yep. I think I was still riding
you were still riding a high.
Yeah. So I didn't really sleep at all. And then we got up the next morning and I'm like, no, I don't even want to move around. So
packing down that day was rough on you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it almost would have just been better to just go ahead and head down the mountain that night in the dark.
Yeah.
Just while you're in it, you know, it's just like
keep going.
Muscles are warm, still warm. And you had adrenaline going, but oh yeah, it was crazy. That was crazy. But I don't know. I get it, Clint. I get your points. I feel like you started to persuade me on Team Mule Deer, and I made a weak argument for whitetails. But and everyone's probably going to go with you. But if you've never killed or hunted muley in the high country, you can't say you'd rather do it than whitetails, because you'd go once and maybe be like, ah, Kurt's probably right here. I don't know. But
it's not for everybody. And like I said, I'm guilty of this. We romanticize those hunts to the point where it's this, oh God, this is this. And don't get me wrong, I love it. But there are way more people that will love to hunt a big whitetail than who love to go chase a high country mule deer buck. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. So it's a small percentage that have, I think, that passion and that love for what high country mule deer encompasses. There's a way larger percentage that are more in love with whitetails, and that's just brutal reality.
Well, there's more people here, there's more whitetails, there's more spots to hunt. But you know, that being said, like, you know, when you see a mule deer on the other side of the mountain, or even other side of things, you see a whitetail running away from you and he's bouncing away and you're like, this feels impossible. It's pretty cool when you pull it off and you're like, something that felt so impossible and you're able to get into certain range and put an arrow yep. through something and be successful. It's like sometimes it seems so out of like first time antelope hunting, first stalk on an antelope, and it's like you can get within 200 yards of the thing that's right. running. You're like, this is impossible.
Yep. Yeah.
But then you figure out how to get it done. It's pretty damn cool.
It really is. It really is.
So that's like, I think that's what makes bow hunting so sweet in general, whether or not whatever makeup debates you want to do on podcasts. But it's like, I remember that feeling, man, seeing muleys way out there. I'm like, this is impossible.
Oh yeah.
But it's pretty damn cool, you know? And I feel the same way every year when I see a whitetail runoff. I'm like, man, just think like how many I've killed already. Is like, can you keep killing them, man? It seems impossible. Yeah. But then you stay after you can figure it out.
It really is. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Clint, I think you probably won this debate because you won me over, and because I've done it though, you know, like,
man, I'm good at this.
I really wanted to have like a podcast series of like just making up BS debates that I don't fully believe in just for the sake of fun conversation. And apparently it's just not.
Hey, I got a good one. Who has the better rut stash, Bo or Doug? I've already been asked this 3 times a day on Instagram. I've had people tag me in the episode. They're like, so if we had Bo in studio,
I saw some of them coming.
Doug, can him and Doug be in the same room? Like, is that two herd bulls? Like, what's going to happen there? Like, do they collapse? Like, what?
I actually have a picture of Bo and Doug together, like with their, I think their cheeks are touching. Like, cause I was like, get together, let's take a picture. Bo has a man's mustache.
Yeah. But
Doug's has like some built-in magical powers of prediction. And like, so, you know, on Chappelle's show, he says like Prince has a purple aura.
Yeah.
Doug's mustache kind of carries like a purple aura. Bo has a great mustache, not taking anything away from him. Like, it's better than most people's, but Doug's mustache is kind of its own entity.
Magical.
Whether Doug's attached, you see, the mustache is not attached to Doug. Doug is attached to the mustache.
I like that.
The difference between Doug's mustache and other people's. So
there it is.
That's what we got for you.
It'd be a good debate. Team Bo, team Doug.
I don't know if that's a debate. No disrespect to Bo. I love the guy. He's a great dude. But Doug's mustache is something special. It's a specimen.
You know, Bo's going to have to start using his mustache to predict things and see if he's any good at it or not. Because Doug's stash, the predictions, he's pretty good at that.
Not bad.
He's pretty good.
He's not bad. So
He's not.
We'll see, though. Maybe we need to get Bo in the working class bow hunter studio and sit them next to each other and just get one real tied up camera angle so both of our mustaches are in the same frame. Like, we need one of them, like, where you see them, and then we need, like, a camera each that's just here, just Steve Harvey angle, you know?
I like it. Make it.
That's what we'll do. Clint, thanks for having this fun combo with me. Where can people find you? Most people know, but if they don't know, where can they find you?
Yeah. So, hey, go to WCB, CC Hunt Files. Every week we're pumping one out. Wednesdays, Instagram, Casper Clint, Facebook, Clint Casper. Right full-time over there at Peterson's Bow Hunting. Bunch of blog work all over the place. Shout out to Big Time. Do a bunch of stuff with them. Bunch of different companies, but that's kind of my home bases and whatnot. So that's kind of the best places to, I guess, keep track of what I'm into.
I love it. Well, thanks, man. Yeah, you're a part of Working Class Bow Hunter. But so everyone, thanks for watching, listening. Fun conversation with Clint Casper, as always. Hope you like my hat if you're watching and my metal t-shirt. I switched it up. We're getting ready. I'm going to start doing some fun themed video podcasts coming up. So keep an eye out for that. People have been mailing me AC/DC t-shirts because they know my dislike for AC/DC. So I got some, and I got a lot of other cool band shirts in the mix from like talking about music from listeners. So start seeing some wild shirts from me here coming soon. So everyone, thanks. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We love you.